You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three, and you are listening to the Common Sense Show. I'm your host, Dave Hodges. Glad to be with you. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And thanks to Steve and Tom, our guests for the last 2 hours. They did a lot of unenslaving, and I have to tell you, there's a lot of New Age nonsense that's made its way into the church, and I hear not so much pastors say a lot of these things, but I'm hearing just basic parishioners saying, yeah, we are co-creators with God. I have heard that phrase that Tom said, and that is unacceptable, people. We are not the creator of the human race. We can only be the perverter of the human race, like what we see trying to happen with transhumanism. And you heard Steve's reaction when I told the Vance Davis story, and most of you who follow this show on a regular basis have heard Vance say that here, because I've made him repeat it more than once on this show, and that is really true. I mean, I'm telling you, folks, this is really, really accurate, where he foretold transhumanism 25 years ago without the name. And I want to just throw a pebble in another pond here very quickly before we go to our next guest, Bob Griswold, and we're working on getting a hold of him here. But I just wanted to mention here that when I've had Pat Wood on, and I think he's the foremost authority on technocracy, folks, it's about controlling everything. It's morphing humans and controlling them. It's controlling your environment. And this is exactly the marriage that I'm referring to, is between technocracy and transhumanism. In fact, I think we should probably do a follow-up with Pat Wood where we ask him to talk about those topics. I'll throw out a transhumanist concept and I'll go, where do we find this in technocracy? And I guarantee you, we're going to see just about a one-to-one correlation. We really are. Well, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, too, before we go to Bob, is that, and Todd, let me pull up the screen here real quick here, because it just disappeared on me here. So this is the travails of live programming, and okay. But I just wanted to mention one thing, and it's a subject we can broach with Bob if we have time. I wrote an article, two articles, and one was critical and one was scathing of President Trump. Look, I feel I and many of my colleagues, we risk not only our careers, we risked our lives in supporting him, because had Hillary been elected, well, I let your imagination wander. You know what I'm talking about. Well, Donald Trump is refusing to come to the rescue of the very people that got him elected by defending First Amendment issues. And this is not a right of a private company to do what they're doing. YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, ultimately Google that owns YouTube, they are committing antitrust violations because they are an unregulated monopoly. Google, for example, gets 80% of all search engine traffic. That makes them an unregulated monopoly. And as such, they cannot discriminate. They are in clear violation of antitrust laws. Hello, Donald Trump. He needs to fire Mr. Magoo. That's Jeff Sessions. And when Magoo is gone, he needs to put someone in there who will be aggressive and go after these social media giants who are trying to destroy every conservative talk show host out there. And folks, the purge is underway. The other issue that I'm concerned about with Donald Trump is this. First, he's for arming teachers, which is the right move. And I'm talking you do it prudently, carefully, and with good training. We need to have armed people on the ground to defend our kids. You could take every gun in the country, or so you think, and there'll be more guns to carry out these shootings. So where's Donald Trump in protecting our kids? First he's for arming teachers, and then he's not. Now he's for raising the age of purchasing a gun to 21. Well, that accomplishes incremental gun confiscation because it takes the gun out of hands of millions of people. What about a 20-year-old coming back from Afghanistan, a veteran? He's wounded. He's out of the service because of his wounds. He can't buy a gun? Are you kidding me? What kind of nonsense is this? And then we take a look at the situation involving the bump stocks. Fine. I don't really care about the bump stocks, but I will tell you this. It's an incremental move to get control over the Second Amendment, and Donald Trump says we need to have discussions about it in legislation. Hello, Mr. President. I didn't know the Second Amendment was negotiable. Now, Donald Trump's done a great job with the economy. He's now putting tariffs on foreign cars coming into the country. That's great news for Detroit, which is bankrupt. But he's a disaster with the First and Second Amendment. And that's the word that describes it. And I know that's going to anger some people out there because they see and hear no evil when it comes to Donald Trump's name. He's making mistakes right now. He's trying to make deals with the devil. He needs to stand firm, and he needs to hear from everybody that he's in danger of alienating his base. He got elected. He got elected because of the mainstream media and the people that listen to us. We gave him the push over the top, and he's doing nothing to help the people that put him where he is. And then with guns, well, you know the story with guns. They come and get the guns. It won't be long until they come and get you. History is filled with 19 examples of that in the 20th century. University of Hawaii Democide Project. Look it up. Let your voice be heard, folks. Do I think Donald Trump is a lost cause? Am I abandoning this president? No, I'm not. But I am not going to shy away from the issue, no matter how many people get mad at me. He is failing us with the First Amendment, and he is failing us in defense of the Second Amendment, and he needs to step up. As I said, he's doing a good job in other areas, but we need to hold him accountable like we would any other president. And yes, of course, we are much better off with Trump than Clinton. Please save those stupid arguments. Deal with the issues. Well, we have Bob Griswold with us from ReadyMadeResources.com. I call him King Prepper because anything you need to get prepared, my friend Bob Griswold has it. But I will say this, and I want to mention this off the top before we get started. The discussion we're going to have tonight is going to make you realize that you need to have storable food. No two ways about it. And we can help you with that. Go to numana.com/Hodges, coupon code Hodges10 for 10% off. No substitute for food, water filtration. We'll get into some of that, but we're going to deal substantively with the pastors who are failing their churches. Bob, welcome to the show. Glad you could join us on such late notice.
I feel, after listening to two great men of God, you feel inadequate. Just listening to them, it really is a very sobering conversation that you had with them to realize what humanity in league with Lucifer have planned for our human race, and how we are facing the complete extinction of humanity as we know it. Humanity 1.0 is, they're seeking to replace that with a supposed better human. And we know from the book of Revelation, we know from the history of the flood what happened. It is going to turn into a nightmare of biblical proportions. As it says, if those days were not cut short, no humanity would survive. And Dave, I want to mention something about the food you just talked about. And I want to say, you know, Dave has not in any way prompted me to do this. I feel it deep in my spirit that it is time for people to look at the days in which we live. There are people out there now that are telling us that a politician is going to somehow bring in a golden age for America and the world. And yet every fact we look at, the debt, the division in our country, the corruption, the pedophilia, the transhumanism, you name it, it's just growing exponentially in our sight. not only, Dave, are they going to demonize the guns and free speech, they're going to go after anybody who is a prepper. And they're going to make it harder and harder for people to get the provisions that they need to be able to survive. Dave, the amount of food that you sell is top-notch. It's the best you're going to get. It's not filled with all kinds of crap that you don't want to eat. And people really need to take you up on that offer. I'm telling you, I've seen hungry people. Anybody who's traveled into third world, you've seen hungry people. You've seen the desperation of mothers offering themselves to feed their children. Just desperation you can't even imagine. When you get hungry, don't think that you won't be any different than anybody else. Those people in Venezuela, the people in during the Bosnian War, sold themselves for a can of beans. It won't be any different, Dave. And I know we look at it right now from eyes of plenty. We look at it from normalcy bias. We look at it like we're America. We will always have this. But the Bible tells us there's coming a day, and it's not too far off, that sudden destruction is going to come upon us. And I'm sorry for those people who think that we have some kind of golden age coming upon us. We do not, in the immediate future, have a golden age coming. We have a nightmare age coming. And the Bible describes it as the worst time humanity has ever known, and there's never been a day like it until that time, and there never will be again. We are facing what's called the Great Tribulation, and it's time for people to get ready. Jesus spoke over and over and over again, be not deceived. In fact, he goes, whatever a man sows, that is what he'll reap. Well, look, Dave, what America has sown. How do we expect to reap a golden age when we have sown years set with 50, 70 million murdered people? We have sown debt that reaches into heaven. We can't even imagine. We've sown perversion that is unthinkable. I mean, just the homosexual marriage and the destruction of the sanctity of marriage and all these other perversions we have coming out on the scene. You look at what we sow, and how can people say these things? I think you have to be biblically illiterate to do it, to make these comments that somehow we are going to enter in a golden age. Yes, the economy is good, but look at what we've done to get it there. We're throwing money at it. Like there's no tomorrow. We're burning through it faster than we can almost even print it. And, you know, all you got to do is add zeros, and we're spending it that fast. Of course there's going to be the appearance of prosperity. But if you, today, if I said I'm going to bring America back into sound financial principles, the economy would crash, and you would have a catastrophe unknown. And so, you know, when you get hungry, and I'm going to tell you this, when Father, if you're listening to this, and you look at your wife and children, and when they get hungry, and you realize that, you know, the plasma TV and the football game and all the other stuff that we want to accumulate, the stuff that we want to accumulate, that was more important than putting food aside, water aside for your family. It will haunt you. And I don't say that in any way to condemn people or to use guilt to make people buy or whatever. It's just a reality. If you believe history, if you believe the Bible,
it is what it is.
It is what it is.
It's a fact. It's a fact. And listen, I've said this before. I choose advertisers because I think they have value to my listeners. Let me put it this way. I turn away more than I take. And there's so much volume you can handle on a radio show, and there's only so much volume you can handle on a website. But I do make selective decisions, and no offense to anyone I've ever turned down. I mean, some products are fine. I just don't think they serve the basic needs of our people. And Numana is one of those groups. Now, Bob, I wanted to ask you, and I want to kind of shift gears back to, and I want to get to this topic, and I want to hit it hard. I shared an anecdote from an experience my wife and I had last night when we attended a church service where the pastor bumped right up against the topic, and he was showing on the video screen the copies of books, you know, Witchcraft for Your Life, and I don't remember all the titles, but that effectively was magic and essentially summoning the occult, you know, the devil's playground to get what you want out of life, and touched on a little bit of New Ageism. And he said, that's not where it's at. And he held up the Bible and says, this is where your answers are. And I thought, man, he almost got into it and stopped just short. But Bob, I'm sickened by pastors across the country, and it's not all of them. I mean, we had one on tonight that called it what it was, Dr. Tom Horn.
Yes.
But Bob, the church, I think it's lost. I think there are a few churches out there that are okay, but I think the majority are lost.
You know, they've made a deal with the devil. They've gone along with this government sanctioning of their church through the tax system, and they've had to say, we will mute ourselves, we will castrate ourselves to the gospel for the sake of getting mammon. And almost every church in this country has done that. And so what we have is a gospel that is being preached that has been totally emasculated. It has no power to transform a human being. Keep this in mind. I challenge anyone to dispute me on this. The Church of Jesus Christ is the only entity God has ordained by which a nation or a person can be saved. A politician, as conservative as he might be or whatever, cannot bring about national repentance. It cannot bring about national salvation. It's only through the pulpit of America and a message of repentance and turning back to God can we have any hope whatsoever of seeing America prosper again. We are not prospering now. We're in debt now. We're in debt up to our eyeballs, beyond our eyeballs. So be not deceived. Jesus said that over and over and over again. And I see today so many people deceived into thinking it's not as bad as it is. You know, I had it up here, Patrick Henry, and I refer to this speech often. And he said, Mr. President, it is natural for a man to indulge in the illusions of hope. We are apt to shut our eyes against a painful truth and listen to the song of the siren till she transforms us into beasts, meaning that we don't have human reason anymore. We're just dumb like animals. Is this the part of wise men engaged in a great and arduous struggle for liberty? Are we disposed to be of the number who have eyes and see not and ears that hear not the things which concern our temporal salvation? I mean, that's where we are at. We have swallowed the pill of the siren. She's put us to sleep, and people think that it's okay again, that everything's fine, and it is not. Jesus spoke specifically of this time. He wrote in the book of Revelation to the church of Laodicea, and he said these things, says the faithful and the amen, the true witness of God. I know your works. Thou art neither hot nor cold. I wish you were cold or hot, but because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. He goes, because you say I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, you do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's how God describes the church in America today. They think they're rich. They have these mega buildings, mega structures, lots of money. The money that rolls into some of these churches is unbelievable. And yet they're poor, blind, wretched, and naked. And they're leading a nation down the path to destruction because they refuse to speak out to what God says is abominable. And they just let it go by. And they get their fat paycheck. And the sheep are being slaughtered by the wolves. And the nation is going down into perdition, but they get their fat paycheck. So that's where we're at right now. And so the call is, and this is what Jesus said over and over again, to the people that are listening, and I know you're listening because you don't want to be deceived. Be not deceived. Wake up. It is time to face the reality of where our nation's at. And a politician is not going to bring about the renewal of America. I'm sorry. It's not going to make America great again. The only entity that can make America great again is the Church of Jesus Christ, and that's only if it brings about national repentance. And we don't see any national repentance right now. We see national pride, materialism, everything else, but a contrite and broken spirit over the condition we see our country in.
Well, that's pretty blunt. Do you lie at the feet the fault? Well, let me back up. Let me say this correctly. Is 501c3, is that the root of why our churches are falling so short of the mark?
Well, I wouldn't say it's the root. The root of it is fear and cowardice. Obviously, the carrot can be money, and that's what the 501c3 is. It's money. It's a tax exemption, and people, you know, the church wants that because they want their tax exemption. A lot of people would not go to their church. I mean, if I found it, put it this way, if I found a minister that was preaching the gospel, I don't care if my money's tax deductible or not. I'd rather give to that organization and not be able to deduct it off my income tax than to go to an organization that modifies or emasculates the gospel so that I can get a tax exemption. And that's what it boils down to. But the real issue is cowardice, Dave. It's a coward's death. The church has died in America because the pastors in this country have been afraid to stand up and speak the truth, irregardless of what it costs. And that's the bottom line of it. And this is where it's going to end up, that we are going to face this sudden destruction. One day the reckoning is going to come. One day we're not going to back away from the brink. One day the financial crisis is going to be catastrophic and the bottom's not going to fall out and there will be no recovery. One day, you know, the differences in the people of America, the political differences, are going to overwhelm the system, and there's going to be a violent revolution, civil revolution in this country. There's so many possibilities because we do not honor God, that one day when that comes, it is going to overwhelm the system. The system will not be able to handle it. The goods and resources in the system will quickly vanish, and the paper money that you have, you'll realize it is no good, and the only thing that matters is something that's tangible. And that's the message a lot of your advertisers say. I mean, there's a wide range of products that are available, food, water, you know, some of the things we sell. It is really time to face that, and again, not being deceived into thinking that we are somehow going to have a golden age ahead of us. We will not have that golden age without repentance. And I know, I mean, I would speak, and I'm sure, well, I listened to Tom Horn and Steve Quayle, and I know Steve personally, and I know he would totally agree with that statement, that there is no national repentance coming. There is none. And the golden age is not coming to America. We are going to go through a very, very difficult time.
Well, as you said, the Bible said it's the worst time ever. But if we say that out loud, we're doomsayers. We're paranoid. And we can cite the Bible, but we're still doomsayers and paranoid. Bob?
Well, at the end, Dave, I want to get this in. Jesus said, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Anybody who understands the history of this world, the fallen nature of this world, and the promise of the return of Christ and the upcoming kingdom that he brings, it's not. It's something that we know we go through, but in the end, there's a kingdom we inherit that it will never perish. So anybody who says you're a doomsday or whatever, yes, if I look at man's rule of this planet, they've done a pretty pathetic job of it. But if I look at the kingdom that's promised to this world, that I have a lot of hope and look forward to it.
Yeah, I agree with you, but the bulk of Christians, I'm not talking the bulk of America, I'm talking the bulk of Christians, think that this is all nonsense. They don't think it's going to happen in their time. And I have to say, Bob, there's part of me that wonders if it's in our time, that the signs are sure there.
I mean, the massive debt. You look at the absolute infighting in our government. You look at the threat of war over and over and over again. The interjection of, you know, non-human entities into the human race, this thing that they're talking about through CRISPR technology, and, chimera, transhuman. We are facing a period in history that is undeniable, unlike anything else humanity has ever faced. You can never point to a historical event that we are facing like we're facing right now. It isn't like the 1800s, the 1900s, the 1500s. Humanity has crossed a technological Rubicon that is going to bring things to our ability to do that we are incapable of handling in our fallen nature. We are being given God-like tools, and we're not God-like. And we're going to take those tools, and we are. We've taken them and grossly abused them. So, I mean, you just look at it. be not deceived. Patrick Henry also went on to say, I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. You look at humanity, what we've done, and it is, you know, war, disaster follow us, and it's only through the Church of Jesus Christ, as it's preached, that humanity escapes these horrible things that Lucifer and our fallen nature bring upon us. You look at the last century, the two major wars we fought, and what happened during those wars. We're on the cusp of another war that will be like unlike anything. In fact, I forgot what some Republican senator just came out and stated that this next war what we're facing, and he said, I think like it could happen in the next 90 days or something. It is going to be staggering. It'll be the worst event ever that hit humanity. I mean, that's not me. That's a United States senator that said that.
Well, I saw a general, I forget where this is reported, it might have been on Steve's site, where a general said that in the first day of the war, 10,000 American soldiers are expected to die. And they're talking just war with Korea. And then the other thing, too, that disturbs me, is the pulpit silent about the foreign policy right now? I mean, we're at near state of war right now in Syria. It's our proxies versus the Russian proxies. And then China is threatening everybody from Australia to India. And I reported today, I made a podcast today where I basically talked about how the Japanese are moving missile batteries to Okinawa to counter the Chinese threat. They need natural resources to fuel their industrialization. And it's 1929 Japan all over again. And I think they're going to make their move at one of two times, Bob. One is if the United States and North Korea get involved in a conflict, China will make their move. Or if war breaks out in Syria, they'll make their move. And they'll count on that as a distraction. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you. And all it takes, Dave, is one miscalculation. Because the weapons that we have today are not weapons of 100 years ago. The weapons that we have today are unimaginable. I mean, the technological weapons of even just shutting a nation's computer system down, where that would shut everything in our nation down, every gas station, every you know, Walmart, the electricity, the water, it could all be turned off. We can do that to each other. And then that's not to say if somebody dropped a nuclear weapon or if there was that type of war, or biological war. This is why we want to have our hearts ready at all times. We do not want to be deceived into thinking that something's going to happen that's not going to happen. Because if I'm thinking the golden age is coming, if I'm thinking that we've dodged a bullet, I'm going to start to relax a little bit.
And have
I'm not
a beer.
Going to be thinking,
yeah, sure.
Yeah,
keep
I'm not going to be
up,
thinking of
NFL.
My preps. The man,
yeah.
What's that? You know, I'm not going to be thinking along those lines. But if I understand history, if I understand the nature of what God's Word teaches, and I really pay close attention to current events of where it's going and how just from past experience those current events have worked themselves out in history, I would say my alarm factor is going off right now in a pretty substantial way. Now, do I panic? Do I go about with my hands in the air, flailing about, screaming the end of the world is coming? No. We're not stupid people that just, you know, become immobilized by fear. But as Noah said, he was moved by holy fear. He did something. He prepared an ark for his family. And in doing that, he saved his family. That's what we do. We're not fear-mongers in the way that we're just trying to scare people, to scare them, to get some type of, you know, deviant pleasure out of seeing people worry. No, you warn them so that they can act upon that warning. And if my warning, if your warning, if Steve's warning, if Tom's warning are have no substance behind them, yes, call us out on it. Tell us off the wall. Show us. But if on the other hand, if you're using the reasoning of the scripture, if you're using history, if you're using example after example of things that have tangible, you know, real historical example of what things have happened in the past and how they could relate to today, like Patrick Henry said, he relates to the future by what's happened in the past. If those examples are plenty and we use those, and that's the truth by which we're trying to warn people, then I would say take it pretty seriously, because there's a good chance that what we're saying is going to come to pass. And, you know, there will come, people will come out the other end of it. Who do you want to come out the other end? The people that have gotten us into this mess? Or the people with the answers? I want good people to be the ones that are victors in it. And that means to prepare your heart spiritually, to get your heart right with God, and then to do the things that that you would need to do to survive any crisis. And you just read the history of crisis, read the history of war, and what you read is you better get ready, you better stock up. And as again, Tommy, I mean, Dave, you didn't promote me at all to say this, but I think Numana is the best product out there for food. I don't think you're going to get anything as nutritious and as, you know, what you would say clean food that's not filled with all kinds of additives and growth hormone and GMOs. And I think that's probably the best decision for your family, because in the end, when you need this food and you're eating food that doesn't keep you healthy, you're not going to be able to do the physical labor you need. You want to keep the body clean and good with good food. And if you're doing that, then you're going to have the energy to do what you need to do. You know, if you've got one of these plans that's loaded with just empty calories, and Dave, I've been doing this for a long time. I've seen people, one-year food supplies. I remember one time I saw one. He had 17 cans of orange drink. Now, these are like number 10 cans. That's how he was getting his calories, 17 cans of orange drink. That's basically big 17 cans of sugar. You have to watch, and the people at Numana have done a very good job of putting packages together that give you a balanced, nutritious, a meal. And so, again, you know, I just think it's the food to buy. And I think the times that we're living in dictate that the prudent will look at this and say, yeah, I think we should put something aside. Maybe we could skip this whatever we're going to buy and put a little money into the food.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more on that point. Let's go back to the churches again. What are Christians to do?
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, again, Jesus said, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and you will be my sons and daughters. If your pastor refuses to, you know, come clean and preach the Word of God, and not just the parts that are not controversial. Anybody can preach God loves you sermons, and everybody feels good about it. But when you have to preach the sermon on the sanctity of life or the sanctity of marriage or some other sermon where it's going to be counterculture and you're going to get great opposition, then that's the man you want to be around, because he'll tell you the truth. No matter what the cost, he tells you the truth. So if you're in a church where the pastor is not doing that, I would not in any way financially support that church. I would leave it and find a man of God that is going to do it and then support them. Second, there is no replacement for having a biblical understanding of history. To understand, you know, what's going on, you have to have an understanding of God's Word. You know, we can spend 2 hours a day or 2 hours on a weekend, 3 hours watching a sporting event. We can spend 2 or 3 hours a night watching TV. How much time do we spend really reading our Bible and praying and getting to know? I mean, if we're going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ, wouldn't you like to kind of get to know him a bit before you get there? You know, I mean, are you going to show up in heaven being a total stranger that you don't know his word, you've never communed with him in prayer, you don't spend any time with him and say,
yeah.
Oh, you know?
Bob, I'm chuckling because of the fact that last night when I was relating our experience in church, and the pastor bumped up against the occult. He then held up the Bible and said, we preach this here. This is what we do. But we only do this 1 hour a week. What do you do when you leave here? And you just repeated the same thing. I'll tell you, I think you can tell that my experience last night really made an indelible impression on me. So let me ask you this question. Knowing this pastor bumped up against this prime topic, how would you handle this if you were me?
Specifically concerning...
Yeah, in terms of, you know, Pastor, you almost got there, but you're not all the way home. Here's the real threat to our people.
Yeah, I would probably ask him to have go out to lunch with him and say, listen, this is what our... I mean, if I'm wrong, show me. Prove it to me. But if I'm right, and I can show you this, and this is what's possibly coming, you look, you have 500 people in this church, 500 people are going to be affected by this. And one day they're going to want to know why you don't say anything. What are you going to do with this knowledge? If it's wrong, show me I'm wrong. But if it's right, you're accountable for it. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to, because of fear, not talk about it and hope it'll go away? Or are you going to stand up to the plate and earn the respect of people by saying, this is what we're facing, friends? It's not pleasant. It's not popular. And I know there are people that will never shop at my store because they think I market in fear. And I don't mean to, Dave. I don't. I just read the Bible and just say, this is what the Scripture says. This is why I do it. I have a passion, a burning passion in my heart to warn God's people to get ready. And that's what I would tell that pastor. You know, you're going to be held accountable for this. There are people that are going to stand before you and ask, why didn't you warn us? Throughout the Scripture, there's a thing called the watchman. He stands on the tower and he watches. You know, you see the man that's on the boat, the bridge, looking out through binoculars, looking at the horizon, see if anything is coming. You know, there's so many analogies we could use of people that are there to warn if there's impending doom or disaster coming. And for some reason, America doesn't want to hear those people.
No, they don't. Hear but the see, song. Bob, fear is a healthy emotion.
It's very healthy.
Joy is a healthy emotion, and it's in balance. God instilled a sense of fear in us so we could stay clear of danger, so we would know when it's time to run or to fight.
Absolutely. Fear is a very healthy emotion. Fear, there was a time in my life fear kept me alive. It warns you. It's a two-edged sword. We don't want irrational fear. If I'm screaming something irrational, you know, that the space aliens are going to come down and steal your food supply tonight and you better get your tinfoil. Yeah, I mean, call me out on it. But if on the other hand, as I said, if I'm using what God says, if I'm using history, if I'm using example after example after example of things that have happened, then if you call me out on them if I'm wrong, but I would say I don't think you can call us out on it because I think it's there in front of our face. And we do like normalcy bias. We don't want to hear this. Pastors might not want to preach it. They might think that they'll lose people out of their congregation if they talk about these things. But I would say in the end, if a pastor, if they really come clean, they call for repentance, they say we have sinned mightily before God, and we are in danger of divine judgment, and we need to repent. I think if the Church of Jesus Christ did that, I think people would quickly come on board. There'd be people that would leave. There'd be scoffers and mockers. But I think those that are sitting in the churches wondering when somebody is going to stand up and raise the standard and say we need to change the direction and it's going to have to start here. I think we would see a move of people in this country to support that. But I don't think we're facing that. I think we're going to face more and more of the same until the crisis hits. And then we'll sit there and scratch our head going, what happened? God bless America. What happened? And we'll fail to see the river of 50 to 60 million murdered children. We'll fail to see the destruction of the sanctity of marriage, the crass materialism of absorbing our lives in just that which is so temporal, is here today and gone tomorrow, and how we've rejected God's divine plan. Like I said, I read this a while ago, David, and it hit me like a brick. You know, are you going to get to heaven not even knowing your Savior because you never spend any time in prayer reading the Bible? I mean, you get to heaven and it's like, who are you? Oh, I'm Jesus. Oh, nice to meet you. I mean, is that what it's going to be? We want to get to know him now a little bit, and that we do that. Like I said, that's how the average person can do something is get to know him. Read the Bible and spend time in prayer daily. Get to know him. Pray with your family. Again, the days that are coming, your family is going to be a source of strength. Get to know them. You know, pray with them. Read the Bible together. My wife and I, our family does that, and it's a source of great strength. I cannot stay mad at somebody I pray with and read the Bible with. You know, so it's a strength for our marriage. It's a good thing we do in our family. And plus, when you read the scripture, it opens our eyes. There's so many things the scripture says. It enlightens our eyes. It gives wisdom to us. It makes the things that look complex, it makes them look simple because we see it through the light of scripture. So again, that's what the average American can do, because that's what Jesus said. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Over and over again, he said that.
There's a lot of deception going on in today's church, and let me highlight one thing that I'm talking about. It's not deception by overt lying. It's deception by obfuscation. And let me just go back in time. I remember when I was, I think I was a freshman in college, and one of my teammates took me to his church. And he said, "This is kind of like you, Dave. I mean, this guy just cuts right to the heart of things." And he was talking about his pastor. And I'm in there, and I'll tell you, you'll never hear many sermons like this across America today. This is when there was trouble in the Middle East, and he said, "It's foretold in the Bible. We are here. Israel's now a nation." That was foretold, and he pointed to a map that he had up next to his podium. This is the days before video imaging. And he pointed to it, and he said, "This is where we're going to war. And it'll probably start in Syria, because it says Damascus will be destroyed in a day." I'll never forget that sermon, and I was all of maybe 19 years old. And I challenge people, when have you been to a church where a sermon like that was preached, and especially, and Bob, here's the key, Revelations was brought forth in the sermon and was a central point of the sermon. Revelations, you wouldn't even know most churches that was a book in the Bible now.
No, they've totally avoid a book like that. They totally avoid anything that's controversial, because, I mean, the church in America has become a corporation. Its job is to keep itself in perpetuity, you know, in with money and buildings and property. The souls of men are secondary to it, and that's why our nation is in the condition it's in. The pastors have turned it. I mean, you go to church building seminars today. Church building, and it's absolutely all the principles of just how to build a corporation, how to build a big business. Prayer, Bible reading, you know, humility, repentance, sanctification, the second coming, hell, judgment, those are all off. You can't talk about those things. The people don't want to hear that. They want to hear the good stuff, you know, the Joel Osteen stuff. You know, they want to hear what God owes them. And you know, you go to church, hear that, and so it's motivational speaking, and people come away from it thinking, "Wow, this is great," but there's no moral change in their life, and the lives of their family breaks apart. The divorce among Christians is just the same as it is among non-Christians, and God's very specific about divorce. He says you can't do it. I mean, you know, you can't do it, but you know, time after time after time. I mean, there are some exceptions for divorce. I do want to say that. I mean, you know, adultery and other things. But you know, overall, she doesn't make me feel good anymore. He doesn't make me feel. That's not a condition in the Bible for divorce. And yet we do it all the time. And then we like to poke about the homosexual or those kind of things. But the thing of you know, breaking your family apart because for some reason you don't get along with them anymore, that's completely unbiblical. And I hate to say that, because I know there's a lot of people out there that have been through a broken marriage. And, you know, if you were the recipient of it, it's horrible. I mean, I was 30-some years ago, 35 years ago, it happened. And it's horrible. I didn't want it, but it happened. And you know, God has mercy on those people. But, I mean, if you're just sitting there and just saying, "Well, you know, this person's going to make me happier, I'm going to leave." Again, this is what's breaking our nation apart. You know, when only 30% of young men in this country are raised by their biological father, I will ask, how can a nation survive that?
I don't see how it can. No.
And I know it's sobering stuff, Dave. It's not popular stuff, but it's what we need to hear. A dose of reality is what we need to hear. And when we do, it will affect, as it did Noah, as it did Joseph, it'll affect our behavior and what we do. It changes your whole perspective. And Dave, you know, people call me a fear doom and gloom. I know people that prep a lot, that do this. They live happy and fulfilled lives. It's not something we sit there and dread over, wake up in the morning thinking that the sky's going to end. Martin Luther said, if I knew the world was going to end tomorrow, I would plant a tree today. I go about my life and do that, but every day I look at it going, what do I do? What do I do here, Lord, to prepare for what is coming, spiritually and physically? What do I do today to prepare for what is coming?
And I think that is a good prayer. And I think people that need... Well, let me back up and I'll say this. You know, you lock your door, hopefully you do, when you go to bed at night. And you lock your car when it's on the parking lot. And you're trying to put a barrier between yourself and being a victim. Well, this is just one more way of putting yourself between being a victim and being prepared.
That's an excellent point. I call it the panic zone. You know, how if let's just say the lights went off tonight, how long is it before you and your family would hit the panic zone? Most Americans are going to hit the panic zone immediately because they have very, very little food in their home. They might have a couple days of food in their home. You know, the box cereal and the box ravioli and the cans of whatever would quickly go away. And you're going to hit the panic zone and within about 72 hours. Imagine if tonight they go out and they buy a year's worth of food for their family, and they have that stored aside, and they have their water filter, and they've bought a firearm to protect themselves. That panic zone's then pushed away a while. What it gives them the ability to do, Dave, is to think rationally in a crisis. If I know the food is going to be gone and I'm not going to have any food in a day or two, I'm going to get desperate real quick. And desperate people don't think correctly. You grasping at straws, like the drowning person. You just start grasping at anything. But if you have that year's worth of food in your home, if you have the water filtration in your home, if you have, you know, the ability to, you know, the communication that we do and some night vision, whatever, if you have those things in your home, that panic zone is then pushed away. And so then I can start rationally thinking through the problems and what we're going to do. I'm not pressed for that. It's having a savings account. If I get laid off and I have a year's worth of income in the bank, I'm not immediately going, you know, I can't make the mortgage payment. Well, our house is going to go into foreclosure. No, I have some money set aside so that I can make the necessary payments. What's the difference, Dave, in doing that and having food or other things set aside so that you have that ability to say, you know, I don't have to panic right now. You know, we have food in the cupboard. We have quite a bit of it there. In fact, we can feed ourselves for a while. You know, we have the ability to purify water. So the cell phones don't work. I can talk to you via our ham radio. I mean, all those things, that panic zone is then pushed back and back and back. And that's a good thing to do. And that's what we're telling people to do, because look at the history, look at what's coming, and say, do I want to hit the panic zone on day 1, 2, or 3? Or do I want to hit the panic zone on day 30, 60, 90, or whatever? I'd rather push that panic zone back a little bit.
Bob, I have one more question about the churches. Are people better off if they start their own home Bible study where they can
absolutely
control their faith?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, you go in the scripture and it says, Paul said, in a church that met in their home. And that's actually phraseology that's used in the scripture. You know, when you have a common group of people that meet together in your home, first, there's accountability. You know, you're not going to be so easily falling into the lackadaisical approach towards sin we have in this society today. You're going to have friends that are going to encourage you. You're going to have a network of people that support you if you're going through a difficult time. A home group, you can then speak about those things that are not being mentioned in the pulpits of America, the controversial issues, and talk about them. You can pray for one another. There's so many benefits of a home of fellowship I could keep going on. We could do a whole program on it. We have a home fellowship. I mean, we had it tonight in our home before we did this. And, you know, we had a pastor. He served communion. Dr. Michael Lake. We listened to something by him. We had music. I mean, all of it in our home, and you know, and with close friends. And so, and I know if those people, if there's somebody in that group that was in need, we'd all come around and help them. If there was a bereavement where they'd suffered loss, we'd stand by them. It's much closer. You don't get that in the mega church. You don't get it. So yes, to answer your question, hands down, home fellowships are going to be the wave of the future. As we see persecution come upon the true Church of Jesus Christ, the home fellowship will be the way to go. And I'd say start it now. Plan it now.
The church we've been attending does have home worship groups. And I think that that's really, really smart. I won't give you my caveat. Excuse me, I'll save that. Bob, you own ReadyMadeResources.com, and I've been advertising for you for a long time. And you provide great services to people. We got about a minute, and I mean not much longer than that. Tell people why they should come to your site.
Well, they can call me, and I have a lot of practical life experience. We've been homesteaders for 20 years now, so if you want to know something about gardening or radio, whatever, you know, we really enjoy giving out good information. There's a lot of bad information out there. I think our company has excellent pricing. I mean, one of the things I do is I compare myself to Amazon regularly to make sure that I offer people good pricing, because I know budgets are tight. And then we talk about ways of prepping that a lot of people don't talk about. You know, the food and water are extremely important, but you know I'm big on radio communication because you want to be able to communicate. We have some real specials. I mean, if you buy one of our radio packages, we're giving away two extra free ham radios with it. Now, they're the Bofrang UB5Rs. They're about $30 a piece, but you're getting two of them. So if you had some friends that showed up and you have you and your wife have a radio, you can give these out to people that would be joining your group, so you'll have two extra. This is the last weekend, our night vision, which, you know, is, I think, you know, you've heard me talk about it. I think it's absolutely an essential thing you have to have. The last weekend, tomorrow, is coming off. We're giving a free $200 helmet away with the night vision device. Any night vision device you buy, as of tonight, you're going to get a $200 bump helmet. It's the night vision comes with a head mount. It's not the most comfortable thing in the world. It works. But the helmet is much more comfortable method to wear night vision. And we're going to be we've been giving those away free with the purchase of a night vision. So tonight's the last night that'll be offered. And then, again,
Bob, I want to squeeze this in, too. I got to tell you, I've never had a complaint about your service. And people write to me and tell me just the opposite, how much they appreciate what you do. Healthmasters.com, the number's there when you go to the website. And, Bob, I got to say this real quick. You know, Josh Coy is a good friend of mine. He broadcasts here on this network. And last week I asked for a universal prayer for Josh. He did a show this week. And it's up on the CommonSenseShow.com. Hooray, hooray. Prayers work. You guys are awesome out there, because I'm telling you, God had a hand in putting that man back on the air and giving him the physical strength to do it. Okay. Mr. Griswold, you're an awesome servant of God. It's my honor to call you a friend. Can't wait to see you at the Branson Conference. I want to thank you for joining us tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Bob Griswold, ReadyMadeResources.com. And one thing he didn't mention, one thing Bob didn't mention real quick, is he will take time to talk to you about your needs where most other will charge you, and he doesn't. Anyway, we'll be back next week. We're putting together a terrific show. Thanks to Tom, Steve, and Bob for a great show. And thanks to you for tuning in. Go out and have a great week. Remember, God rules over all. Worship Him humbly. God bless.